What I want is to build an army of pushy angels where we all go back to our jobs, to our companies, to our communities, and shine the light on other people, mm-hmm. right? Like somebody did that for me. And if they had not, where would I be right now? Yeah. I doubt that I would be where I'm at right now. Nobody makes it on their own. People help. We get help from people. Even now, the most successful I've ever been now, and I'm always asking for help, and people are always helping me. I want people to become pushy angels for other people.
Hey, this is a quick shout out from one of our awesome sponsors. Check this out. Thank you to Tracy down at Tranquil Turn Massage in downtown Coeur d'Alene. Look, my wife and I, we see Tracy and her team every single month for a couples massage, and it is the best thing. Tracy is a master massage specialist and a Hanu Ashiatsu trainer. You need to reach out to Tracy and her team. Make sure that you tell them that I sent you, and you'll get $25 off your next massage. Also, while you're there, check out CDA Brows, Body, and Ink. Make sure to tell Tracy that I sent you, and you'll save $100 on your next tattoo, brows, and plasma tightening services. Hazel, you're a speaker, entrepreneur, author, psychologist, so much more. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you joining me on the show today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Awesome. I like to kick the show off by going back a bit. Where did you grow up and what was childhood like for you?
I grew up in Los Angeles.
Okay.
In the 80s when the gangs were rampant. And I grew up with the world's deadliest gang. It was called the Mara Salvatrucha.
Okay.
And because of that, the neighborhood was very violent. And plus, I did grow up in an impoverished neighborhood, a very poor neighborhood. I grew up on welfare. My mom never went to the bank. I never saw her do any banking. I saw her receive her check from the welfare office, go to a check cashing place and get the money. And then by the time she got the money, she already owed a lot of people money. And then we also paid for food with food stamps. That's the way I grew up. Everybody in my neighborhood was the same way. And then on top of that, we have violence, right? We have violence with the gang members, and we have violence, domestic violence in our homes. And my mom was, I don't want to say abusive, but she would definitely... she was violent with us and spank us, but we're a little too old to be spanked, you know?
Oh, sure.
It's only legal to spank somebody like 2-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a rough upbringing, very limited experience. We no travel, no dreams, no thinking about going to college. You know, today I'm a Latina of Influence and a Social Impact Award recipient. And that was nothing that I dreamt of as a kid. There were no dreams. The whole growing up was about surviving.
Wow. I mean, through that experience, like what was that kind of breaking moment for you that you experienced that got you on the path that you're on today? And what things did you have to change to break through all that?
Well, I didn't know that I wanted to break out of it. You know, I was in an environment where everybody was the same as me. So why would I even think that something was wrong, right? Sure. So what happened to me is that I changed my environment by getting a job at a law office, right? And so there was this program for at-risk youth, and they would pick us up and take us to a job, because that's one of the ways to make sure that we're not getting in trouble on the street is that they keep us busy working. So I started working when I was 17, my senior year, at a workers' compensation courthouse. And the judge that I worked for asked me what college I was going to go to. And I told her, I'm not going to college. As a matter of fact, I'm not even finishing high school, you know? And she looks at me and says, you know what? Okay. Forget about college, but you should at least finish high school, because it says a lot about people who can finish what they start. And so when she said that to me, that was the first person who ever even cared that I was going to whether I graduated from high school or not. And then I looked up to her as well, right? Like maybe somebody else did tell me that, but they didn't have any education. So this lady actually did have an education, and she was telling me to do this. So I tried to go back to school and, you know, pass my classes I talked to my truancy counselor, and he tried his best to help me with my talk to my teachers and see if I could pass the classes. They gave me all this work to make up, and I did really well. But in the end, it was not good enough because I was so far behind. Mm. But with the hard work that I did earn more credits. I didn't finish high school with all my friends, but I wasn't as behind as I would have been if I had not tried to graduate. Yeah. Then that judge recommended me to work at a law office because I aged out of the program. And now she said, what are you going to do next? I can help you find a job. And I said, yeah, I need a job. And so she recommended me to work at a workers' compensation law office. And I was working there. I thought that was as good as it gets for me. By the time I was 26, I was earning $15 an hour. And I didn't have a high school diploma. Hmm. At that time, I became an injured worker myself. Okay, I was sitting at a desk for somebody shorter than me. So everybody out there, all you listeners, make sure you're sitting ergonomically correct, because once you have nerve damage, you always have nerve damage. There's no reversing it. Wow. So you want to make sure that you're sitting correctly. So I have nerve damage in my wrist, in my elbow, and I have problems with my neck. So at 26, the doctor tells me, you can't do that job anymore. And immediately I get scared because I'm thinking I'm going to go back to poverty. I'm going to go back and be on welfare. And by this time I'm married and I have 3 kids. And so I used education as the vehicle to get me out of the fear of being in poverty and then continue my lifestyle, right? And what ended up happening is I didn't stop. My self-esteem started to build up. So a lot of people, they'll say no to something, like a big vision, because of where they are in the moment. Mm-hmm. But as you start working on your vision, your dreams, you start to grow your self-esteem. You evolve. So who I started to begin with at 26 years old is not who is sitting here in front of you, right? I have a lot of self-esteem right now. Yeah. I always say we're like buildings, you know, we're in different floors. And then you go up the elevator, right? And sometimes you can get to the penthouse. But, you know, if you don't, you're at least not on the first floor or the second floor if you keep working on yourself. So I kept going up the floors, right? And eventually, so at 30 years old, I got my high school diploma. Okay. And at 36, I'm an educational psychologist. Okay. Awesome. Yeah. And I started to work as a psychologist. So the first time was because of my injury. That is what made me change my life. So I changed my pond. I changed my surroundings. And now I was with people who were using education as a vehicle to make their dreams come true. Right. And then
that's awesome.
Yeah. And Eric, honestly, though, being on your show is not because I'm a psychologist. It is because I've learned how to live the life of my dreams, transform my situation. And so that is what brought me a lot of attention because I wrote a book about it.
Yeah.
My book is called From Bounce Checks to Private Jets. Okay. Yes. Yeah. And so when I became a psychologist, that just taught me how to do a job. Mm-hmm. It did not teach me how to live the life of my dreams. As a matter of fact, at 36 years old, I was still fist fighting with my sisters and a psychologist and my sister, a police officer. Yeah, wow. I was bouncing checks. I was already divorced and I was pretty violent myself in my relationships. Mm-hmm. I could slap a man. And you know, that was not good. I would break things. I was unhappy. My life didn't work, right? And so what changed my life, and I think what led me to meeting you and being on your show and being able to share my story is personal development.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is the first time I was ever assigned a coach. I've never had a coach before. I've had mentors, which coaches are mentors as well. Mm-hmm. So my first boss, the judge, she was a mentor, which today in retrospect, I call mentors, like people who tell you that you should be doing something better for yourself, they're pushy angels,
yeah.
right? They see yeah. something in you that you can't see for yourself. Mm-hmm. And so coaches do that too. And so I had my first pushy angel, which was the judge. And then my boss that I worked for, who told me, you're going to be a professional, like think about what you want to do. And continue to go to school. And I became a psychologist, right? And then this coach at this personal development seminar, she asked me, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And this is the point that changed my life, like transformed it. Actually, you know what? When you change, you could always change back. But what you yeah. want to aim for is a transformation where you'll mm-hmm. never go back to thinking the way you used to think. And so I had such a poverty mentality. I had like Groundhog Day is what I call it, where every day is the same day that you had before. Mm-hmm. And when you start yeah. to plan for the future, you're like, eh, why am I going to think that my future is going to look any different? It's going to look the same. I'll just be 5 years older. Right. Yeah. So this lady asked me that, you know, where do you see yourself in 5 years, this coach? And then I told her 5 years, I'll just be 5 years older. And my kids will be 5 years older and I'll have more problems. Right. And, she told me, you know, you answer that too fast. Why don't you give yourself some time to think about it? I'll give you 10 minutes. Stay here by yourself in this room and I'll be right back in 10 minutes. Eric, I'm sitting there and I have never been asked this question about the future. Never, never. Okay. And I'm sitting there. You know, I'm just surviving life, right? I'm not living sure. life. I'm surviving life at this moment, right? I went to school because I got injured, right? I went to this personal development seminar because somebody I was dating told me that something was wrong with me, like that I'm not loving. And so then that kind of shocked me. And I didn't know what he meant about that, but I knew I wanted the relationship to work. So I put myself in this personal development seminar because he told me to. It wasn't yeah. because I was seeking it out. So life is just happening to me. I'm just like at the effect of everything. I'm like a victim, right? Mm-hmm. And this lady leaves and she's gone for 10 minutes. I'm sitting in this room and I'm really bothered with that question. I think it's like the dumbest question. I don't know how to answer it. And, you know, when you grow up in trauma and abuse, one of the things that you do as a defense mechanism is try to control everything. Mm-hmm. And you want to know everything. And she stumped me. She had me in a spot where I didn't know anything. So I'm sitting there for 8 minutes and I can't come up with anything for myself, for my future. Like, why would my future look different? I'm so upset with this lady. When all of a sudden I got this insight, like a knowing inside of me, like a question. It was, do you believe in God? Mm. Do you believe in miracles? And yes, I do for both. And if you do, then what is possible for you?
If you're like me and support American values, then this is for you. Blackout Coffee is handcrafted in small batches, and it's roasted just 2 to 3 days right here in America before it ships to you. By far, America's strongest coffee. See, coffee from other brands, they've been sitting in storage and on shelves for months. They have horrible taste, limited flavors, but you don't get that with Blackout Coffee. And we're talking over 30 flavors available, including my favorite, cinnamon French toast. So choose Blackout and get ready for an amazing day.
Yeah.
In that moment, I realized that I don't dream. Hmm. That like most people, we set goals. Goals based on what we think we can accomplish, right? And so our brain knows all the areas of our lives where we suck, mostly all of them, right? We yeah. can't paint, we can't dance, we can't sing. We, you know, your brain yeah. knows you're a loser, right? Mm-hmm. It is actually in a default. Your brain is in a default to look at all your weaknesses, mm-hmm. right? That is the way it keeps you safe, right? It's like, hey, you don't know how to fly. Don't jump off this ledge, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't know how to do action motorbike. Get off that bike. You're old. You're going to hurt yourself. So your brain is always knowing your weaknesses. So it's scanning for that. So it almost sets you up for failure, right? So you have to become very strong in your mindset. And at this time, I wasn't. So here I am, not thinking anything for myself, even though I've already accomplished great things, right? I became a psychologist, right? I have proof of that, that I can do that, right? And I gave birth. I can do that. I have, you know, things that add value to me. I can, I have friends. I've helped my parents. I'm a breadwinner in my family, but still my brain did not allow me to see anything. Okay. So once I saw that, you know, if I believe in miracles, what is possible, and I saw a possibility of a different future, I was allowed, my brain allowed me to see my future flying in private jets, living in a mansion, having millions of dollars, having the love of my life, living a life that looked like I was always on vacation. Right? Go big or go home, Eric, okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? That our brain is not wired to make a miracle happen. Therefore, it didn't do what it normally does. Once you set a high goal, your brain starts to figure out how to make it happen. And once it figures out that you can't make it happen, it shrinks or cancels your goal. And it's like, you know what? Instead of losing 40 pounds, maybe I'll just lose 10. And you start to settle, right? So, you know, everybody for New Year's resolutions, we have these big, big resolutions.
Yeah.
And by the time it's February, you're like, well, maybe I'm not going to do a full marathon. I'll just do half a marathon. You know, you start to shrink it. This is what happens because your brain is working against you. So in a miracle, it's none of our business how a miracle happens, right? So I was able to see in my brain all the details of this beautiful life. And one of the other things that I said is that I wanted to get along with my sisters like we were in heaven. And remember, I was telling you that I was fist fighting with my sisters at this time. And honestly, before I had the concept of the miracle mindset, I wouldn't have even dared to say that I wanted to get along with my sisters because it wouldn't be a possibility. Right. And so family matters a lot to me. That's why I created a vision of all the areas of my life that matter to me. I also said that if I believed in God and miracles, my daughter would go to college and graduate. Imagine like where my mind was at that time, that it wasn't a given that my own daughter would go to college. It wasn't a given because nobody in my family went to college. I was the first one. And I'm the one that has the highest education. Now things have changed because once you heal yourself and once you do something, then the people in your family tend to also get healed and inspired.
Yeah. Come on. Oh, so good. Such a powerful story. And man, just know that you are impacting people through that. I want to get into your High Tide Global because this is awesome. Like, for those who don't know, what is High Tide Global? What's the mission here?
So we want to impact a billion people or more by 2032. So we started the nonprofit in 2022. So we've given ourselves 10 years. And what I'm doing is I am training and developing people in this miracle method, right? Because people, we can grow up thinking, hey, I'm growing up in poverty. I'm going to stay in poverty. That's how I grew up thinking, like, this is as good as it gets for me. And because of that, you know, 60% of people that grow up in poverty stay in poverty. So I'm teaching people this new mindset that you can do anything in spite of your current situation. You know, I help injured workers, and I'll tell you something, that when I call them and tell them that they have this beautiful benefit that is a retraining benefit for them to go back to school, they'll tell me that they're too injured to go to school. I see people, I just got back from El Salvador through the nonprofit. I was doing a social impact event where there were two gentlemen who were victims of gang violence and shot when they were just 14 years old and left for dead. And they were now paralyzed. And what they were doing was surfing and competing in the Paralympics. And now these two guys are training to do skiing in the Paralympics.
Come on.
We could do so much more. You know, we just need to hack our brains, right? Have the brain think. So I'm sharing my story. I'm sharing this technology, and I'm having friends give me courses that they create and that they sell, and we're giving them to the poorest communities in the world. So my first community that I helped impact is Uganda.
Cool.
We went from Uganda to Mexico, Colombia, Guatemala, Puerto Rico. We are in Los Angeles now, teaching the teachers, the administrators, how they can dream, and they can teach the kids how to dream, right? And then yeah. like, let them grow up in happy, healthy homes, because kids, honestly, they go home and they teach their parents what they're learning at school.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. And so the parents can be like, oh, you'll never be an astronaut or whatever. It's like, mom, don't you believe in miracles? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or come we'll on. Never get out of this neighborhood. Mom, you know, come on.
Yeah. Wow. So cool. I mean, like you mentioned before, you've won a ton of awards. You're very successful now. Financially, you've got great businesses. You're making an impact with your nonprofit there. But what is it that drives you to keep going at this point?
I really believe that we are all here to help each other. Mm-hmm. So my nonprofit is called High Tide Global, and it's like a high tide lifts all boats.
Yeah.
So we've made it. Let's help other people come up too. Mm-hmm. Right. And I did mention to you the pushy angels in my life. Yep. What I want is to build an army of pushy angels where we all go back to our jobs, to our companies, to our communities, and shine the light on other people, mm-hmm. right? Like somebody did that for me. And if they had not, where would I be right now? Yeah. I doubt that I would be where I'm at right now. Honestly, nobody makes it on their own. People help. We get help from people. Even now, the most successful I've ever been now, and I'm always asking for help, and people are always helping me. So that's one of the things that I want. I want people to become pushy angels for other people.
So good. So good. I love to finish the show with a fun question. I'm a big music guy. So I've asked a question like, what kind of music do you like? What is there a favorite band that you like to listen to?
I like all music. My favorite is Spanish music though.
Okay. Okay.
I'm Mexican. My first language is Spanish, and both my parents are passed on now, mm-hmm. and it makes me feel closer to them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it makes me feel familiar.
Sure.
Like loved and family. Yeah. And I travel the world. I mean, I've been mm-hmm. to Mount Everest. Wow. I'm speaking in Antarctica next month.
Come on.
Yeah. And I've traveled all over the world, and Mexico is still my favorite place to go. It makes me feel at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man,
so good. Hazel, this was a great conversation. I love what you're doing. You're making a massive, massive impact across the world with what you're doing. So thank you for doing what you do. And thank you for taking time out of your day to join me on the show today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you for having me. I really feel like I'm living my dream any chance anybody tells me to share my story. So I really appreciate you.
Hey, if you've ever thought about starting a podcast but unsure where to go, you need to go check out ericallenmedia.com. Click on the resources tab there. I will walk you through how to start, launch, and run a podcast. I've recorded over 500 interviews since 2017, and I want to help you launch your podcast. Make sure that you hit that subscribe button so you catch every show when I drop them. Thanks again. Keep changing the world.